This morning, members of Congress received a classified briefing on, what else, Russia. And a few hours before that, President-elect Donald Trump tweeted that it was a failed spy and sleazebag political operatives who put out what he called the fake news that Russia has damaging information on him. That retired spy, who gathered intelligence first for Republicans against Trump, then Democrats, has reportedly gone into hiding. So once again, Russian intrigue in the week in the news.
We really need to name our political roundup something with a Russian word. I think. Joining us today from Miami, Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Maria Elena.
Hi, good to talk to both of you.
Great to have you. And from Des Moines, Iowa, Kay Henderson, news director at Radio Iowa. Hi, Kay.
Greetings.
And we will get to the Russia stuff, but we also had so many hearings this week for Trump's cabinet nominees, and a lot of them got to that issue of Russia. This morning, Trump tweeted, "All of my cabinet nominees are looking good and doing a great job. I want them to be themselves and express their own thoughts, not mine," referring to the fact that many of them had broken with him on different issues. Kay, are any of them at this point, does it look like, in danger of not being confirmed?
It appears that the Secretary of State nominee, Mr. Tillerson, would be the one that is in the most precarious position, of course, because of the way that Marco Rubio, a member of the committee, questioned him and specifically about Aleppo.
In Syria. But he would get to the point of Russia because many of them differed with him. They said they felt that Russia was not a friend, that Putin was not to be trusted. They believed that there had been hacking. Maria Elena very much differed with Trump.
Exactly. You know, these confirmation hearings, I think, are great forums for senators to show that they can ask the tough questions. It's sort of like a showcase. But, you know, the important thing is that the American people get to know them a little bit better. And it's interesting how they were all asked if they would agree with the president or if they would be willing to go against his will. And most of them said yes. In fact, many of them have distanced themselves from some of Trump's more radical positions and statements. So that kind of tells you a lot about the doubt in the Senate, in the Senate committee, about the president's judgment.
It sort of puts a new angle on the whole team of rivals concept.
Right.
These may be rivals within rather than rivals of Trump.
Well, but he has been said to, want to stir it up in his businesses, so maybe in his cabinet as well. Well, also this week, the Justice Department's internal watchdog announced an investigation into FBI Director James Comey's reinvestigation of Hillary Clinton's unverified emails during the election, something that was disclosed, as opposed to the unverified reports that Russians, colluded with the Trump campaign and had damaging information on him. That was not disclosed, even though people knew about it during the election. So I want to play this exchange in a congressional hearing Tuesday. You have Maine Senator Angus King pressing the FBI Director Comey about whether the FBI was investigating the Russian information.
Especially in a public forum, we never confirm or deny a pending investigation.
Irony of your making that statement here, I cannot avoid, but I'll move on.
Well, we sometimes think differently about closed investigations, but he asked me if I had any pending investigations, and we're not going to talk about that.
The point there, King, saying, wait a second, you disclosed Clinton's emails. And look, today the Wall Street Journal called for Comey to resign. But do you think, Kay, take this, will a new Trump Justice Department allow this investigation into Comey's public handling of the emails, which could have made a difference in the election that they won?
Well, the relationship between Donald Trump and Comey has been rocky through the fall. So there was some question about whether Comey would stay on in the Trump administration, if it would be so untenable that he would have to resign. So I think this just complicates the relationship. And of course, I remember the day that that letter from Comey came out, Hillary Clinton was in Des Moines campaigning, and it took her campaign hours to figure out how to respond to that public statement from Comey.
We were on the air live talking about it when it happened. And by the way, this was also the week that Donald Trump gave his first press conference in months, and it was extremely combative. Maria Elena, what does that tell you about how Trump is going to do his job as president, how he responds to criticism, and how the media should be approaching him?
Well, there's one thing that's clear. There's no difference between Donald Trump, the candidate, and Donald Trump, the president-elect. He showed that he will not tolerate anyone who doesn't agree with him. You know, I'm personally concerned with how he's handling the media. It's an affront to freedom of speech to shut down a reporter and not allow him to ask questions, to denigrate a reporter and accuse media outlets of spreading fake news.
Well, and in fact, your colleague Jorge Ramos experienced that back during the campaign. He was kicked out of a press conference, but then he was brought back in by Trump after other members of the media complained. In this case,
I know,
when he went after CNN, it was not like that.
Right. But it was interesting how at the time people accused my co-anchor Jorge of grandstanding and of being rude to Trump and interrupting him when he was in his press conference. And now we're talking about, you know, a violation of freedom of the press. One thing that we do know is that Sean Spicer told Jim Acosta afterwards, yeah. he told him that if you do that again, you know, we're going to kick you out of the press conference. So, you know, it is a dangerous thing when no one knows what to believe, when you undermine your institutions, when you put into question the media and the institutions. You know, that happens in third world countries or in authoritarian countries where no one trusts their institutions, the media censored. But it's not supposed to happen in our democracy.
Well, you know, something else happened there. I just want to ask, we'll move on from the press conference, but Kay Henderson, maybe take this, a columnist here in Boston, Yvonne Abraham, picked up on this. He was, of course, very dismissive of the unverified reports that his campaign colluded with the Russians and that the Russians had, in fact, entrapped him, had salacious video on him, again, completely unverified. And he was very angry and he said, does anybody think that I know about cameras. Did anybody think? And also made a comment about, by the way, I'm also a germaphobe, so I wouldn't be doing anything salacious. This is the same guy who was caught on a camera that he could see talking to Billy Bush about grabbing women in places that if you're a germaphobe, perhaps you shouldn't. It was also an entertaining moment. Kay Henderson, is that what we're going to see? Somebody who, you know, maybe is twisting what he's said in the past, but it's appealing.
Well, I'm not wearing my nattering nabobs of negativism T-shirt today, but I would say that a friend of mine overheard a Hillary Clinton voter at a restaurant recently after the press conference actually praising Trump for the way he put the press down. I think that the press has a lot to prove to the public when it comes to Donald Trump, and Trump is capitalizing on that.
This was also a week in which President Obama kind of said goodbye. I mean, we will probably hear more from him over the next several days, but he is saying his farewell as president. And also, there was a very sweet moment yesterday when he had a heartfelt tribute to Joe Biden, the vice president at the White House, and surprised Biden by awarding him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Let's listen.
For the first and only time in my presidency, I will bestow this medal with an additional level of veneration, an honor my three most recent successors reserved for only three others, Pope John Paul II, President Ronald Reagan, and General Colin Powell. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction to my brother, Joseph Robinette Biden, Jr.
Maria Elena, there are, of course, a lot of people in this country that have, you know, it's a very divided country right now, but there are many people who are really going to miss both President Obama and Vice President Biden.
I know. I think it was very emotional. Obama's speech, of course, in Chicago, where he came full circle in the place where he began. You know, he's all about symbolism. And that very special relationship between Joe Biden and President Obama. You know, I've heard a lot of people criticize Obama's policies, but you hear very little about criticizing his persona and the type of relationship that he has, his family life and his relationship with Joe Biden. I've interviewed them both. I have been at events with both of them. They are very close and they do have a very special relationship. It's funny. Last night I was watching CNN and they were talking about this very subject and someone said, that maybe Joe Biden will go down as the first African-American vice president because he's so close and he's got that, you know, that very close relationship, you know, my brother from another mother.
I just want to ask, what else might we see at the end of the Obama administration? Presidential pardons, you know, people are asking, can Chelsea Manning be pardoned in prison now for leaking information to WikiLeaks when WikiLeaks was so intrusive in the election? Kay Henderson, you know, thoughts about in the few days, it's what, 3-4 days, Jeremy?
A week, basically.
Yeah, a week. what might we see?
Well, I do think we'll see more pardons. And in particular, President Obama has been sending out batches of pardons, sometimes over 100 at a time, of people who have been incarcerated under drug enforcement laws that many are criticizing and that, frankly, Congress is looking at changing because of the changes that were made during the quote-unquote war on drugs. So I would expect there to be dozens, if not hundreds, of pardons of people who are incarcerated in federal prisons.
Mm-hmm. You know, who does want a pardon is the Dreamers. It's those young immigrants who were brought here when they were children and are protected under Obama's executive order under DACA. And there's a huge danger that that might disappear. Jeff Sessions, if he does get confirmed, he has personally said that he thinks that it should not continue, that it should be canceled. So
a pardon
would be very nice for these thousands of Dreamers.
Maria Elena Salinas at Univision and Kay Henderson at Radio Iowa will be watching in this last week of the Obama administration. Thank you so much.
Thank you.